From First Church in Kingston to Rosemount, Montego Bay, greetings. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 37 to 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." As the ordinary Jamaican grapples with hopelessness and empty promises from both sides of the house, the world wrestles with a COVID-ravaged economy and human rights abuses and uncertainties in Afghanistan and elsewhere around the globe. Jesus' discourse centered around food and water, two most basic human needs, rings true. Our spoilt, toxic culture is challenged to balance or to simplify life, livelihoods, and the meaning of life, a missing factor in the equation, the meaning of life. Not just life and livelihoods, but life, livelihoods, and the meaning of life. As COVID strike without fear or favor, not even stool beaters can withstand its onslaught. Hear Jesus again. "Come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living, life-giving water." The belly represents the appetite and is known more for receiving than distributing. In fact, any distribution from the belly would normally be toxic. But Jesus fills the belly to overflow. He provides for the appetite, for satisfaction, the thirst of life, the desires of social media. He quenches the immediate, parched, personal platitudes. Then he ensures that the overflow, the exhaust, the ejection is a living, life-giving renaissance, thus ensuring that the cycle of life, livelihood, and life's meaning are held in balance. When you taste Jesus, not only are you satisfied, not only are you quenched, not only are you refreshed and replenished, but your ejection, your overflow, your runoff is not toxic. Instead, you breathe in life and you breathe out more life. Part of the reason why the church cannot heal the Mara multitude, the broken, bruised, and bitter band, the wounded soldiers, is the fact that they are still thirsty and not coming to Jesus to drink. No calling to the bowels of compassion, just a job. There is a cycle of hurt in the church that needs to be broken in the name of Jesus. Only hurting people hurt people. And it's time to hear Gams Morgan again. Give a little more than you take. Fix a little more than you break in the name of Jesus. Hear those people in the church, the generals that occupy the healing stations. "No, sir. Him just a come. Him have to feel it like how me feel it. Think I surpass and get him gone. Give back to which church? Pass and go look at work." I don't pass a bar without somebody saying, "Pastor, what you drinking?" What are we offering in the church? Are we offering even a cup of cold water to a thirsty soul? No. Instead, you hear comments like these. "You have to wait your turn." But hear Jesus. If any man thirsts, this follows the feeding of 5,000, where Jesus is promoted to the bread of life. A fitting intro. If is ian in the original, and it's also translated since. Otherwise, not just if, but when. Hear the translation from the original. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Out of him, his heart shall flow rivers of living water. The believer becomes a fount, a source. Yes, a source like Dyke's Hill in the hills of Clarendon, the source and the head of the Rio Mino, the longest river in Jamaica, a conduit through which blessings flow to others, channels only. Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. John equates rivers of living water with the Holy Spirit. Go back to the dialogue with the woman at the well in chapter 4. The same Ruah, which in the Old Testament is translated breath and wind and spirit, that dominates the Old Testament, is the creative power, is the anointing power for Saul, is the instructive power for Ezra, is the satisfaction power for Nehemiah, is the renewal power for the psalmist, is the cleansing power for Isaiah. This power, which in the Gospels is about to be unleashed, and in Acts is given, dunamis, this power. Let any man who is thirsty, a personal face-to-face invite. The discourse is dropped after the feeding of the 5,000, after dinner talk, during the Feast of Tabernacles, the third of three great feasts, Passover and Pentecost being the others. Jewish males all over the world were required to celebrate it in person, not virtually, in the temple at Jerusalem. The Feast of Booths, where they celebrated it in September, which makes the fitting time to reflect on it. A celebration of the fall harvest of grapes and olives. 7 days of feast climax with a holy convocation on the 8th day. Jews are required to stay in booths to celebrate how God blessed them in this humble abode in the wilderness during the Exodus. A water ritual took place at this feast. The priest would march in procession with the crowd behind him to the pool of Siloam, where he would fill a golden vessel with water, march back to the temple, followed by the people chanting Isaiah 12 verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. At the temple, the priest would march around the altar with the water vessel, and the choir chanting, singing hallel psalms. As the deer panted for the waters, he would pour out the water as an offering to God, remembering the water from the rock, Christ Jesus, Exodus 17, Numbers 20. As well as celebrating the rains of the past year that sustained Israel, followed by a prayer for continued rain. On the 7th day, they would march 7 times, but on the 8th day, no marching, no water symbol, no water ceremony. It's a dry day. On this dry day, after all the water rituals, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, "Let any man who is thirsty come to me and drink." Just some simple observations from the text. Ritual can't quench thirst. God not thirsty. Let any man who is thirsty come. Is anyone thirsty? In a dry and thirsty land, a call to the senses. Hear Jesus, see Jesus, taste Jesus, feel Jesus, experience Jesus. A call to the soul and a call to satisfaction. Satisfaction for life, livelihood, and life meaning. Experience Jesus today, and your life will never be the same. Amen.